Kumlan Ablad Gemara, when that says Vavam Abayz, we're actually learning today's and tomorrow's Yom Kippur's Gemara. It's Hashem. What are two dots in the middle, about 12 lines from the top? Hikir bo she'ena shaloi. What happens if Shimon knew that Reuven stole the field and Reuven was selling it, going through the motion selling it? Shimon knew the Chochmah here and he gave it to him. Amar Rav, Rav says, Mois Yeshloi, when he loses the field, he's still entitled to get his money back. But he's not entitled to get the improvements because you knew the stolen field. Who asked you to put money in, invest money in the field? Shmuel Zok, that not only doesn't he get his investment back, even the money that he gave, he knew that it was stolen property, he has no right to claim it back. What's the machlek? It's been my community. Rav Sovar, Odom Yodeya, every person knows, Shekarka Einloi, the guy knows that Reuven is selling him the Brooklyn Bridge. So why do you give him the money? You gave it to him to mine for you. Again, in mind, therefore, you're entitled to your money back. If you want him to watch your pekotin, why don't you just tell him outright, watch my money for a pekotin? Name a lay le shoot pekotin. So he thinks, loy mekabel. The guy won't
want to be a shaymer.
The guy's won't be a shaymer, but this way he has no choice, but he's a shaymer. However, Shmuel Sovar, Odom, Yedei, Shekarka, Ainle, he had no property. But God, Mavin, not so shumatana, he gave him as a gift. And he gave him as a gift. Nuvin, Aimele, le shumatana. Why doesn't he just tell him, I'm giving you the money as a donation? Therefore, he cannot claim it back. He knows a guy would be too embarrassed to accept it. This way he gave it to him in a ruse that everybody's happy. We had this very machlekes earlier in Masechta Gittin and in Kedusha and other places. Even we learned, I'm a kaddish, a choyse, if you gave your sister money for Kedusha, everyone knows you cannot marry your sister. He gets his money back. Shmuel says, Mois, matana. The Mois is a gift. Rav Amar Mois, Chayzi, get the money back. Everyone knows she ain't kedushin toif. She about Chayzi, can I marry your sister? We got Mavanoshim Pekodin. He gave it to her as a to mine for you. I have a name of Lolishim Pekodin. So well, he thinks like a kabbalim. She wants to be interested in being a shomer. Shmuel Amar Mois Matana. The money is a gift. Adam Yedeya she ain't kedushin toif. Everyone knows he cannot marry your sister. We got Mavanoshim Matana, and he gave it as a gift. I have a name of Lolishim Matana. Let him tell his sister openly. I'm giving you as a gift. Sifula Milsa. She'll be embarrassed to accept the money. Freddie Gimoda. So it's the same machlekes. Tzricha. We need both machlekes inside by the stolen property, inside by kedushin to your sister. The eat, Baha, if you only said here, I would say, Baha, come, Rav. Over here, Rav said his dinner, what? That it's only pekotin of the inid. When it comes to the case of stolen property, it's not common. The yove matanus l'nuchro. You give matana to a fremde person? Obviously, the only way we can interpret your action is that you're giving it to him to mind for you. Avo gabi achoysai. But the truth of the matter is, it's very modern to say that this guy is a known ganef, he steals property, and you're going to trust him to mind your money? I mean, it's very hard to understand what's going on here. But anyway, Abu Gabi Achaisa, when it comes to his sister, since you know her and she's close to you, maybe that you're giving this a gift. And she's just too embarrassed, so you found this chokhmah, how to get around it. If you only knew the case of the sister, only here Shmuel says it's a gift. The case of stolen property, that's not a gift. See, if you need both cases, says the Gemara, Bain le Rav, the Amma Pekodin, whether you follow Rav, says the Pekodin, Bain le Shmuel, the Amma Maton, Hai la Adab, my Konochi. The fact is, we're starting here.
What's the pshat here when the Rambam says sveikus? Does that mean like a sveika, as in what you learn in Yoruba?
Yeah. Okay, you does it? We can start. We're in Tezvav or Beis.
You think I believe that?
Learning Rambam.
I hope you do. We are 15 lines in the bottom. Tezvav or Beis. The last one line is Bain, Lirab. You see, it's about 16 or 17 lines in the bottom. 16 or 17 lines from the bottom. The first word of the line is L'Rav. So the Gemara, that's quite, Rav says that if you knew a property was stolen and you bought it anyway, you're still entitled to get your money back. So why do you give the money? Only that he should mine it for you. And Shmuel says that no, that you knew the property was stolen, so you only gave it back to him. You only gave him the money because you wanted to give him a gift. You don't get your money back. But everyone agrees that if I put money in and invested in the property, I had no right to invest the money in the property because it's stolen property. Ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Bein le Rav, whether you follow Rav, the Amma Pekotin, that the money you gave him was to mine for you. Bein le Shmuel, the Amma Matana, it's a Matana, you gave him as a gift. Haila Adab, what right do you have to walk into the, you know, stolen property? What are you doing in the property? Who paid his hechi ochel? How did he even eat? Doesn't he feel guilty that he's eating stolen property, stolen goods? I mean, what's going on over here? Nobody seems to have a problem with that. Sava Gemara says that this person thinks that he thinks it seems that the fact that he went on the property and ate the fruits, he thinks that it was actually stolen, sold property. It wasn't stolen. He thinks that it's a legitimate sale. Says him, no. So when he thinks, I will go into the property. I will work it. I will eat the fruits. What would the Gazan have done with the property? He would have worked it, tilled the soil, planted the seeds, and eaten the fruits. So I'm no different. And the owner of the field will come to claim his property back. My money that I gave the Rav Don because he thinks I'm not doing anything different than what the Gazan would have done. So what am I doing so bad? The Nigzel lost the property already. One day he'll come and claim it, he'll get it back. So the Gazan, what would he have done? He would have planted it and sown it, and he would have eaten the fruits and the crops. And I'm doing the same thing. And the money I invested, I'll get back anyway. Or I'm giving it as a gift. So the Gemara, oh my Rav, says Rav, regarding everything we learned yesterday, I'll tell you what the halachas are. Hilchas are, first of all, regarding the very first machlekes, if you bought stolen property, do you get back the shvach as well? Or Shmuel says you don't, because it looks like interest since it's only a loan. And you're getting back more than what you gave, it looks interest. Hilchas, yesh le mozi, you get your money back. V'yesh le shvach, you get also an improvement, but it does not look like interest, number one. And even v'afapish le pidush le shvach, even in the case where he didn't specify the shvach, he's still entitled to get the shvach back. I don't believe in this thing about interest. Number two, let's say you knew that this was stolen property. You get your money back like Rav. In other words, even though always the halacha is like Shmuel when it comes to dinim, when it comes to commercial matters, in these cases, as Rav, in every machlekes, is halacha like Rav. Mois yeshla, you get your money back. But you don't get your improvement, but you get your money back because it's only a pekadon. Achrai, the third thing is, again, we'll disagree with Shmuel. We learned before the halach is that achrai is putting into a shtar that I'm giving security is a toy seferu, is a mistake. According to Shmuel, it's only by loans, but not when it comes to a sale. Because when it comes to a loan, you're not going to lend money stam levot time without security. When it comes to a sale, you're thinking that people buy property for a day, at least I'm getting the benefit till it's taken away from me. With the halach is no, the achrai toy seferu, bein bishtori, halva, bein bishtori, mekach amemcha, makes absolutely no difference. Boy, so Shmuel asked Rav a question, an interesting question. What about Reuven stole property? Okay, this is what happened. Reuven owned the property. Shimon stole it from Reuven and sold it on to Levi. So you have three people here. Reuven is the victim. The owner. Shimon is the ganef, and Levi is the purchaser. So what happens in the following case? Shimon stole the property from Reuven, sold it to Levi, right? So now if Levi loses the property, Shimon has to reimburse him. But guess what happened? Shimon bought the property then outright from the ganef, from the nignef. He went to Reuven and bought the property. And then he goes to Levi, give my property back. Does he now have to reimburse Levi for taking away the property, which is...
One second, does Shimon have to reimburse Levi?
Because he's taking the property back from Levi.
Shimon's the original owner.
Reuven was the original owner. Oh. Shimon is the ganef. Okay. Levi is the purchaser. Shimon then turned around, bought the property off Reuven. Then he says to Levi, you have stole the property. Give it back to me. It's mine.
Isn't he a chamsin if he does that?
I mean, he
stole the thing, and now he comes to him and says, you know what, I'll give you money for it. It's on your contract.
No, it's not so. He's saying, you want, you get property back, what you want, I'll pay you for it. The guy said, no, keep it and pay me. A legitimate sale. Can now Shimon go and say to Levi, I'm not going to give me the stolen property back that you stole from me, because I'm the new owner.
He wants to buy it back.
No, he's taking it back.
But Bishas the Zayla, he wasn't the owner.
That's the question. Had it been Reuven, Reuven goes to Levi and takes it back. Shimon now bought Reuven's rights.
Levi paid Shimon for the property.
That's right.
So Shimon has to give him the money back.
Maybe, yeah, but can Shimon take the property back anyway? Because as Shimon the seller, he can't, but as Shimon the owner, he could. That's the question. So, no, but when he bought it, did he buy it to strengthen Levi's position, or did he buy it for his own purpose? He went ahead and bought it from the first owner. Ma, what's it over here? Does he take over and he has a right to take it back or not? Of course he has to reimburse Levi. What did he sell him? When Shimon sold to Levi, he said, Levi, I'll protect you. So when Shimon bought the property of Reuven, he did it to protect him. My time, he goes, I don't want people calling him a ganef. So therefore, I bought the property to help Levi. I don't want people accusing me of being a ganef. That's why I bought the property from the nignef, so now I'm a legitimate owner. And Levi, you can keep it. He wants people to trust him. My benayu, we'll start the next page in a second. My benayu is different. Ika benayu, the misla keya. What happens if Levi died? We'll have the next page. Call a ganev. Hamisle, he's dead now. Who's going to call him a ganev? The one who said that nichle the lake of Hamnusa, he wants people around town to say that he's an honest person. He wants the children also to walk around saying he's an honest person. Freddy Gemara, save the end of the day. Kodal ibn Elakei goes on, even according to the first reason, if he goes and takes the property away from Levi, they'll call him a ganav. Elaika Benai, the difference would be the Mez Gazlan, you're telling me he's supporting Levi and he doesn't want people to give him a bad name. Who said either he doesn't want people to call him a Gazlan or don't call people to be dishonest. The Chilik is, what if the Gazlan himself died? Man, Dominichel, he doesn't want people to call him a Ganif. He doesn't care anymore, he's dead. Misli, he's dead. What does he care if people call him a Ganif once he's dead? Man, Dominichel, Lekim, and Nusi want people to think that he's honest. Hachinami, Avagad Mez, Nichel, Lekim, want people to call him honest. I have to understand the difference why. You don't care to call you Ghana, but you want to be
trusted.
You're dead.
So you care about your reputation.
So why Gazan doesn't bother you?
Oh, I don't mind stealing something.
No, you don't care to call you Gazan. It's not a very good reputation. So if you call the Bnei Gazlan, those who call him a Gazlan, they'll call the children of the owner, you son of a Ganif. What happened? Not that Shimon sold it to Levi, he actually gifted Levi, and then Shimon turned around and bought it from Reuven. Does Shimon have the right now to take it back from Levi or not? So it depends. He wants people to think he's honest, and even though he gave it as a gift and didn't cost Levi anything, he still wants to be honest. If it turns out to be he gave him a stolen field, what kind of reputation will have? If he bought it from Reuven, he bought it especially that definitely to make sure that Levi keeps it. But the one who said, the one who said he doesn't want people to call him a Gazlan, what do you mean Gazlan? What did it cost you? Did it cost you a cent? I gave you a gift of stolen goods or what? You can call me a Ganif. That's for certain. Now, so we just had this whole question here, if he turned around and bought it from the victim. So we concluded that he's buying it in order to strengthen the ultimate purchaser's position. What happened? This guy is so shifty that he sold the same property to two people. He sold the property to Levi, then he turned around and bought it from Reuben, and then he turned around and sold it to Yehuda, a property that he already sold to Levi. Pshita, Zovna, he bought it. Zovna, Urta, he bought it. He sold it. Or he yashim it. And this is what happened. Before he bought it from Reuven, he sold the property to Levi, and then he turned around and sold the same property to Yehuda. He sold the same house twice, and it was stolen. Then afterwards, he went and bought it from Reuven. In this case over here, you can't say that he bought it to strengthen the position of the buyer. Which buyer did he strengthen his position? Yeah, which buyer is he strengthening? Levi? Yehuda? He's obviously a very dishonest person. Yeah, and actually, he bought it for himself. Yeah. If he sold it to a third person, to another person, to Yehuda, or to he yashin it to a third person, or Yovim, he gave it a gift to a third person. But he definitely, when he turned around and bought it from the victim, he had no intention whatsoever of supporting the purchaser. Not for Levi Yerusha. What happens? The Gazlan turned out to be he stole the property from his own father. And then his father died. And now he stole it from his father, sold it to Levi, and now it belongs to him, not because he bought it, he did anything, he didn't do an act, it happened by itself. Memele. Yerusha Melehi, so therefore, could we say that a Yerusha is Memele? You can't say he did some apuli here to help Levi out, because he did nothing, it just happened by itself. So therefore, Velav Iyu Kotar Chabasa, it didn't work for it, so therefore. Therefore, he can go ahead and take it back from Levi. That he can go to Levi and say, Levi, give me the field back. I'll reimburse you, but I want the field back. And you can't say, oh, you got the field now, you did it to help me out. No, I didn't. I did nothing for it. What happens? What happens if Shimon turned around, stole property, sold it to Levi, and then. Then it turned out to be that the guy he stole it from actually owed Shimon money. Shimon stole it from Reuven, a field worth $1,000. It turned out to be that Reuven actually owes Shimon $1,000. And then when it comes, but it wasn't due date yet. When it comes to due date, Shimon says to Reuven, where's my money? And Reuven says, I don't have. So Shimon now legitimately keeps the field because Reuven, the Nigniv, actually owes him that kind of money. So Reuven says, keep the field, you know, for the money I owe you. So the question is, how do we interpret that? Do we say it's like a matana, you know, it's like automatic, which means he's not doing it to support Levi, the buyer, or do we say, yeah, he did something for it, and therefore he's doing it to protect Levi, and therefore Levi gets to keep the field. Chazina, we see It depends. We monitor the action and follows. If, let's say, Reuven could have paid him with other properties, not this one. And Shimon says, no, I want this property. Then obviously, why is he going on this property? Because he doesn't want to support Levi. He sold it to Levi. He wants to support his reputation. He says, no, Levi. He wants to keep it. There was no other property that Reuven had. He had no breda. So then Shimon took the property, not because he wanted to support Levi. He said, no breda, he wants the money. Zuzi who the boy. Efrui, he wanted what? He wanted to get paid. And only had no brain. This is what he wanted. What about Yovanel Matana? What about the victim? So nice. He said to the Ganav, you know what? Keep the property as a gift. Yovanel Matana. How do we view gift? Now this is a very fundamental machlekes throughout Shas, and machlekes is showing him as well. How do we view a gift? Is a gift like a sale or a gift like Yerusha? Yerusha comes, you don't pay any money for it, and a gift, you also don't pay any money, so it doesn't matter, right? But by a gift, by Yerusha, you did nothing for it. By a gift, why do you give a gift to me? Why do you give a gift to that guy, you don't give a gift to me? Because that guy did nice things to you in the past, so you want to give him a gift. I did not do nice things to you, so you don't want to give me a gift. So in other words, I bought that gift. I had to earn it. I had to do something to get that gift. I worked for you. I slept for you.
Isn't there also, that by Matana you have a makne and a koine, and by Yerusha there's no...
There is.
There's no...
There's no the guy who died.
He's not necessarily makne. He
was a chiluk.
He was planning on living another 100 years. He got hit by a bus.
Doesn't matter. But you plan that whenever you pass away, whenever Abraham would decide that the life is over, that this should go over to your wife, to go to your children. I mean, there's a don't. It's not like hefker, but there's nobody giving it away. There's a machleket between Rab Acha and Ravina. One of them says Matana just like Yerusha. You don't have to pay for it. It comes out automatically. And therefore he did not do anything to protect Levi. The says no. Matan is like I said. Why the e love the torich v'artze kamei? If I wouldn't have worked hard and tried to appease you, lo havi yoyv le matana, you wouldn't have given matana. Lohochi torich v'artze kamei. Therefore, I worked so hard. Kehecha de lekim behem nusa. You know, I worked so hard here. I worked so hard to get this as a gift, so that you, Levi, be happy that I didn't sell you stolen property. Says the Gemara. Bad Amos. At how long do we say that this guy worked very hard to get it as a gift in order to protect Levi? Ad Amos, until when? Nichele, do we say that he's happy to lake him and Lusa, that people should think he's on, not because he wanted the field, but because he's trying to help Levi out? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Huna says, Ad Shas Hamod Bedin, until they take it from, until the Nigzel takes it from Levi and brings him to court. But if he maintained his gazela that he denies it was stolen Shimon until they're actually standing in court, then obviously it shows he doesn't care about his reputation. If he's standing, usually once you get caught, you give it in or whatever, you try to work out shorter. Here he's fighting till they bring him through the portals of the Bezdin. That shows he has no compunction, he has no conscience. So he's not out to save Levi at all. So if he bought it after that, he did not buy it to save Levi. He doesn't care about his reputation. That's the first opinion. If he goes to Bezdin, he doesn't care about his reputation. He's not here to protect the Levi. So if he buys it afterwards, whatever, if he gets it as a gift, he worked for it for himself, not for Levi. Chi Barav says, Ad until the Mota Adracht Liyode. That was even after you go to Bezdin. If Bezdin then goes ahead and issues a sentence and they put out a star, known as a star Adracht, when the Bezdin says, Shimon, you sold Levi a stolen property, you reimbursed Levi. At that juncture, if he is still fighting it, at that juncture, then he doesn't care about Levi. But if after the court case, he says, you know what, he buys it, turns around and buys it to the victim, then obviously after the court case, he's felt guilty. Okay, he has a heart made out of stone, but at least he has a heart there. So therefore, he's trying to help Levi out. Yeah. No, a drachte is basically like a sheriff that goes in and seizes property from the guy. You get a permit to go ahead and seize property from the person that owes you money. If the Bezdin gave Levi that permit, that a drachte, that he can go to Shimon's house and take whatever he wants to get reimbursed, once he has that, I mean, Shimon's fighting till then, Shimon doesn't give a hoot about Levi. And therefore, if he then gets a gift from Reuven, he can keep the property. Now, Papa says, until... This is another step. A dracht is Bezen says go ahead and seize property. He sees the property, he can't take it straight away. He has to then make a public auction. You have a 60-day time, you have to make announcements and make a public auction. And then when the 60 days are over and the guy still doesn't refuse to pay anything, that's when we say he doesn't have a care in the world about Levi whatsoever. This purchaser, how is it? I don't understand the whole thing here. Levi, what right does Levi have to this property? With a contract, a piece of paper, which is worthless because Shimon sold Levi a property, the Brooklyn Bridge. And so what if he wrote in a contract with witnesses? It's a meaningless piece of paper. It's a charad. So what right does he have? Hashtada chas baum was a piece of paper. So the cheder. So what's the lady going around and getting back over here? It's only a milva. How can he go and take properties? No, we say this thing of Rav, that Rav is, we trust him. Bahi ano, the like amalei midi v'kasam chalem. He says here when we bought the property, he says, I trust you that you will take care of me. Tara chumaiselei. And then you'll go ahead and you will bring me whatever reimburse me. Gomeru maknilam. When he bought it from the first owners, you know what it makes the kinyan, cements the kinyan? How does Levi even have a kinyan? Maybe Levi gets reimbursed. How does he have a kinyan and he has a right to a properties? It's not the piece of paper. It's the fact that he says to the seller, I trust you that if anything ever happens, you'll take care of me. That trust. And Shimon is happy to hear a person say, I trust you. Especially a Ganef likes to hear people saying, I trust you. So therefore, the fact that he said, I trust you, that in itself is enough ground in your machnit. Yeah. Most of the question, if a guy says, Mashi'idish ma'abah mochaloch, whatever, Yashav, my father, I'm selling to you, Mashi'talim, mitzudasi mochaloch, I'm going to go fishing and whatever I've come up with my net, I am going to give to you, lemaklum, it's worthless. Nothing happened because there's nothing there. Mashi'idish min abba, if he says, if I say today, whatever, Yashav, today for my father, so I specify, Mochaloch, we sold to you, Mashi'talim, mitzudasi mochaloch, whatever, I'll catch in the fish in the water today, I'm sold to you, the water, okay, I mean, that already works. We'll soon see why. What's a chilik if Hayyim of Yistam? Yeah, here's a person, Rav Sheish, asking a good question. It's a good question. Here it says that if my father will die and I yash and I'm giving it to you, and even though his father dies, I don't have to give it to you. Why? Because at that moment it wasn't mine to give you. So the cheder, what are you telling me that Shimon owes Levi and he has to help Levi out? What did Shimon sell Levi? A piece of paper. He didn't sell him a property, so why does he have to take care of him? What happened here? So the cheder, what did he tell before? The whole Gemara was looking before is that Shimon is here to protect Levi because he sold him something. He sold nothing. He sold a piece of paper. So why does he have to protect him? What do you mean? When he brought it back from Reuven, he said to protect him. Well, why is he protecting him? The whole thing doesn't make sense. Because Rav is the one who says that if Shimon turns around and buys it from the victim, he's here to protect Levi. Why? And here you see from here, if he says, my father dies, and Yashin, I'm giving it to you. Doesn't go to you because I didn't give you anything. Right now, what am I giving you? Zero. Amar Rav, Gavrach said, Takasir, I will agree with you, he's a great man. But you've got Grazina, Bakasha Zaychnizda. Nothing here. Very, very simple. That when the guy says, when my father dies, I'll yash, I'll give it to you, the guy doesn't really rely on it. Because first of all, who said the father will die straight away? Maybe he'll die in 10 years. Second of all, maybe the father will sell the property by the time he dies. How do I know? He says, this property that my father died, I'm giving it to you. How do I know the property will still be by your father by the time he dies? Maybe he will sell it or something. Over here, when he sold him a property, he assumed that that property is a good property to sell, so he relied on Shimon. The case of Shimon, he relies on Shimon that even if the property gets taken away from him, Shimon will do something to work hard to make sure that the property remains in Levi's hands. Because he knows that Shimon has a vested interest. He doesn't want people going around parading around town and calling Shimon and accusing him of being a Gazlan. So therefore Levi relies that even though Shimon might have stolen the goods and given it to him, Shimon can do everything in his hands to make sure that he can maintain that property in Levi's hands so nobody can accuse Shimon of being a Gazlan. Otherwise his whole business reputation falls apart. But if here in the case of a Yerusha, he doesn't rely. How does he know that father will keep the father Mukhir keep the property? He can sell it. They sent this question before Rabbi Zavda. We don't need to discuss it. We do have to discuss it. Not only have to discuss it in the outer room, even the inner rooms. And we have to give the answer. And the answer is very simple. Over here in the case of the Shimon selling him, selling a stolen field, Levi trusts him that he'll do everything in his power to fix it up. And over there, because he doesn't think that he'll have over there is not some das. He doesn't think that the father will have the property around by the time he dies. Have you over the Bodhisattva? There's a story in Bodhisattva of Oisvei, and they actually gave it. And they asked the same question. No, Rabbi Yisrael, it's a good thing you have to ask it. Rabbi Yisrael, it's a good thing for him. Rabbi, like Rabbi said, yes, you have to deal with it. The same before. Freddy Gemara, and one thing I don't understand. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Sefer. Why in the case in the Reisha when he says, when my father dies, I'll give you the Yerusha, say nothing happened? But if I say my father dies today, something can happen. It's a chilek. When he says, well, I'll yashir from my father today, mishum covered aviv, is because of covered. Obviously, if he says my father today, what's he talking about? It must be the father's dying. And if he says my father dies today, I will give you. So therefore, why is he giving away or selling the field? Because he needs the money. He needs the son needs the money to bury his father. So because the covered of his father, he's doing it. He has a vested interest. So therefore, the purchaser, the end purchaser, rely that that's what's going to happen, that you're going to sell to him. When the same thing is, he said, any fish that I catch today, I'm going to sell to you today. Because obviously, we're talking about today, not talking about in the world today, tomorrow, manana. He's saying today, because the guy obviously needs panosa, he needs the money, so he wants to make sure he has a sale. He has an end buyer. So therefore, we said that the word should exist. But if he says, well, I'll catch the next year, it's too far away, it's not for panos, it's tam. And that people are not reliable. It's like a smachta lekanya. If a guy says to his friend, I'm going to buy this field one day, after I buy Knu Yilok Ma'achshav, it's yours from today, so I cannot change my mind. Kona, it's a good kinyan. You cannot change, even though at the moment when I told you, I didn't even own the field. But if I tell you, when I buy this field, it'll be yours retrospectively from today, it works that way. When does Rav make sense? Besides the stam, he says, when I buy a field, doesn't particularly say which field it is. So then the person on the, I say, look, when I buy this field, it'll become yours as a gift from now. You're relying on him. One day he'll buy a field somewhere. Because there are many fields in the world, and if he can't buy this field, he might buy another field. So then you rely on it that, yes, he promised me. I'm sure he'll give it to me. However, if he says, this field I'll buy, loy. Because how do you know when they're buying it? Who said the guy will ever sell it? Me, yema, the mazmul and ele. Whoever said the guy will sell it, so therefore you didn't rely on it. However, I swear. Rav always does this. He always keeps on swearing. He always says that, you know, this is what people...
With all his promises.
Yeah, I know. This is what the world thinks, but I'm telling you, he has this habit of doing this. Even this field he relies on. Even this way he relies. Now what? That relies. One day you'll buy it and he'll give it to me. Now why taka doesn't work? I don't have the field yet. If I promise you the field, you know, see the field over there across the street? That's the 80-story building. When I buy that, I'm giving it to you. Why would you rely on it? It's not even around. Says the Gemara, right? Merdi Rav Keman Omer Lishmaita. This din that Rav said, you know who could follow? Only Rav Meir. It only works if he followed Rav Meir. Omer Adam Makne Dover Shloim Baloilum. Rav Meir says that a person can buy something that does not even exist yet. What's the story? You had a kedushin. The Tanya, we learned. Ha'imelisha, a man says to a woman, Hiskachi Li, you'll be engaged to me. La'acha she'ezgair, after I become a Jew. He's a guy right now. He's going through the Geirus process. When I become a Jew, you'll be engaged to me. Is the Jew living yet? No. It's a lid dover shaloi bala oilam.
It's a non-existent commodity.
Exactly. Or la acha she'tis gadi. After you convert, I want you to be married. And I give you the ring right now. La acha she'eshtachre. After I'll be emancipated, I'm an eved. La acha she'eshtachre. After you'll be free. La acha she'yomis bailech. You're a married woman, but I love you. So when your husband's dead, you're my wife. And he gives a ring right now. Or after your brother-in-law gives you a chalitza, you're mine. I'm married to your sister and I can't live with you, but once your sister's dead, you're all mine. The Rabbanu say none of these are valid because it's a davar shaloi b'olam. It's non-existent because right now you can't this can't take effect. Rameh says yes, he is mekudesh. Now let me ask a question. A woman, I'm talking about a specific woman. I'm not saying I'm giving a ring. Okay, any girl out there who wants this ring in your mind, I'm giving it to a specific woman. And yet we're saying that it's effective. Zaray, that Rav is a raya to Rav Nawa. That Rav, when Rav says that this field, when I buy, will become yours. But even Sadazu, even this field, even though right now I don't have it yet, I have no access to it yet, but when I get it, it'll be yours. Kisadazu damya, ba'omar, amei mekadesh, that raya to Rav. Amashmul seshmul, ha'moitze shtar, ha'knobishuk. If he found a shtar, hakno. Shtar hakno we had before the Gemara is where a loiver might write a shtar, prepare documents in case he needs money urgently to buy at an auction or something. So he doesn't want to, it takes a few days and he'll miss out. So he prepares the documents. He has a lender in place. Like you go to the bank before you go to an auction and you have everything in place in case you buy the house. The bank will go come forward. So here you had everything, all the documents prepared, but you did a shtar hakno, which means that you say that from now, this moment and onwards, I am a shubit to the malva. As I said before, it makes no difference whether loan took place or not. That even the loan never took place, I am mishabit myself for this money. Yarziru lebailim, you give it to the lender. The imishum, the what are you worried about? Maybe because the lilva is v'loy love, maybe they wrote it to borrow, but he never borrowed. Hashib and afshib, he already clearly said, I'm a debtor myself. The imishum paroyin, and if it's because that maybe he paid it back, and that's why he fell down. L'chashin l'parayin. If you remember, Shmuel said before already, and he says now again, this is din. He says that if we don't believe you paid it back. If you paid it back, what's the first thing you do when you pay back a loan?
You get the receipt and rip it up.
Exactly. The Misha the part of me could have a cuddle, because if he paid, he would have ripped it up. Amar Rav Nachman says, Abba, my father, Rav Nachman, who was a famous, we had a big machlekes tesis in the Shoenim, if Rav Nachman and Shas, is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak or Rav Nachman by Yaakov? Tesis concludes Rav Nachman by Yaakov. So Rav Nachman said, Abba, my father, which is either Rav Yaakov or Rav Yitzchak, means Safra de Dina de Ma Shmuel Habe. So Rav Nachman did not live in the time of Shmuel. Rav Nachman was a two generations later, because he was a kid in the time, like it says right here. My father was a scribe in by Shmuel. I was only then 6 or 7 years old. So he was very, very young in the times of Shmuel. The dekan, and I remember, the Havi Michi, 6 years old, I remember, that they used to announce, they used to announce, any of these shtar akno, where a guy was meshabed himself and he said, you know, whether I get the loan or not, I am indebting my, I'm putting a lien on all my properties. The meshtakhe b'shuka, if you find it in the marketplace, nehadrinu l'morayu, give it back to their owner. Why did he give it back to the owner? Because we don't believe that it was paid, and we believe that. And who cares if the loan never took place? He's mishabed himself. So lechayda any activity of a bezin. Right now, the Gemara thinks even a shtar with a certification of a bezin called a shtar hempik. If you have a verification of a bezin, any maise bezin, hareze yachze, the bezin would not have certified unless it's a valid shtar, and there wouldn't have been a valid shtar unless the loan actually took place. Hareze yachze, get back to the lender because we don't believe that the borrower would have paid it back. What's the raya? It's no raya. Maybe when we say shtar bezin, we're not talking about that this is the shtar we found lying on the street of the loan. We're talking about a shtar that was nothing to do with the loan. We're talking about a shtar chaltos. The Bezman saw cited the shtar of the loan and they verified everything is true and the guy didn't pay. So then they gave out a shtar chatosa, which is a permission to the lender to go to the field of the borrower and seize whatever properties he can get. And this is called shtar chatosa. This is clear. Of course, he can give it back to the lender. Or a drachta means they didn't yet find the exact property. Chatosa means they already know which property it is and they worked out the exact value. A drachta means we didn't yet work out which field we're going to give it. We're just making a general announcement, general auction. We'll work out afterwards. You find the field and then, you know, go chase it, probably get a forensic accountant to go through all his assets and find a field that we can work with, and then we can assess it. The lab b'nei peroininu, there's nothing to do with payment. No rayev. Amar Rav Zerov, honey, lab b'nei peroininu, are you telling me that not b'nei peroininu? Amar Ndoye Shuma V'Ndoye says, let's say if Bezdin said to the lender, you can go ahead and take this property, it's worth $1,000 and take it against a loan. Hodor. You hear this? The lender stepped into the borrower's house, took his property away worth $1,000. The borrower then makes some money, wins the lottery 3 months later. The borrower has a right to go to the lender and says, "Hoda, give me back my property, and here's $1,000 I owe you." How much longer? Ad terezi yachishase, up to a year. The borrower has the right to take his property back and just pay the lender. However, I'm from Nadoya, you see, and I hold the shuma hoda la'ilam. We'll have some after again. That should is hoda la'ilam. That you can always take it back forever. There's no time limit. There's no statute of limitations. If the lender that doesn't own the property sees it because of a loan, if one day I make money, I have every right to go and take it back. So we see from here what? That there is money involved. Well, but over my time, the reason is, don't do a shmuel. The reason is, over there we say, if he would have paid up, why didn't he rip up the shtar? And if he can argue that he lost it, then he should have, right? We said, that you should have wrote another star for me. To be eaten at the party, a bottle in Miklis star, he should have, or I'd ripped up the star, so they paid it. Or you know, in the Miklis star, Chirino, Elayu, that he should have written another star straight away. The Medina, Ado, Le Boy, Le Med, you have to, should have written another star, Mechida, the Medina, Ado, Le Boy, Le Med, Min Hadin, because really, the borrower does not have to, sorry, the lender does not have to really give the property back to the borrower. So therefore, if the borrower gave the property to the lender and the lender lost the property, then the lender should have asked the borrower, do me a favor, give me another shtar, because min adin, it's mine forever. The only reason why I have to give it back to you if you have money tomorrow is it's only because be a mensch. It's not really your property. You lent the guy money, not because he didn't have it, but now he has. Be a mensch, not because me adin. You couldn't take me to a bezin, for example, and force me to give you the back of property. So therefore, the lender should have said to the borrower, I took the property, I lost the shtar, I should have gotten another shtar. And if he didn't, then we give it back. Hilcha, therefore, mereisha the kazovi, and he sold it to him from the beginning. So it's not a pigeon, it was a proper kinyan, as if it's the lender's. We can say that maybe he was pushing. Tomorrow I'll give you the hash to let's go, I don't have it. When it comes over here, maybe what happened was it's quite possible the borrower owed the money, the dude that came and he paid. How come he didn't rip it up? Maybe he didn't get the star back. Why didn't he get the star back? Because the lender was saying, I don't have it with me today. You owe me the money, give it me right now, but I'll give you tomorrow the star, don't worry about it. Or or maybe the lender's holding the star because you have to pay the money to the lawyers. You never pay the money to the lawyers. I'm going to hold the star until you pay the money for the lawyers. So therefore, there's a valid reason why we don't agree with Shmuel that every time a star is on the ground, it must be the lender's, because the borrower would have ripped it up straight away. Lopped after the borrower, you ever had the star? Maybe he didn't pay yet the money for the lawyers. And that's what the lender's holding as security. Everyone, a gemach simetayve, a gugi ben shiur.